I have the privilege of meeting some interesting people sometime, especially as I go out and visit in senior care facilities and places like that. One lady I remember meeting a few years ago, her name was Mary. And I walked into her room that particular morning to see her, and Mary was sitting next to the window, and she was just staring out of it. She looked very beautiful. She was put together, as we might say, that particular day. She had gone to the hair salon that morning there in that facility and had her hair all did up, and she looked beautiful. But her face looked a little bit disappointed. Her daughter was there visiting with her as well on that particular morning, and she told me that Mary was mad at her because she wanted her to take her to Walmart. And her daughter didn't have time that day to take her to Walmart. So we talked about the hummingbird. She had a feeder outside of her window, and we talked about the beautiful hummingbirds on their migration coming through. We talked about her great-grandchildren. We talked about life and all of those things. But I remember there came a distinct moment where Mary, she looked at me and she called me over close to her, and she put her hands on my shoulder. And she said something that I'll never forget. She said, "Jimmy, every day a person has to find a reason to hope." Those words had a profound impact on me, coming from this lady and her situation. I'll never forget those words. And part of the reason is because it isn't always easy to have hope. Some days, hope may even seem foolish to us. In our scripture today, Jesus tells this story about a gardener who looked at a hopeless tree and he said, "Don't cut it down. Let's give it one more year and see what happens." So Jesus tells us this little short parable about this guy who owned a vineyard. But in the vineyard, there was a fig tree. That's kind of interesting. It seems a little bit out of place. A vineyard has grapevines in it. But this one had fig tree in it. And it was special. And so the guy comes looking for fruit on it. And after 3 years, okay, maybe this tree isn't going to bear any fruit. Ironically, this is my third year here. Today is my third anniversary. I was joking with Tommy this week in our worship planning. We were talking about this parable. And I said, "You know, I've been here 3 years. If I don't find any fruit this year..." I was like, "No, I'm just kidding. We see lots of fruit around here." But this owner of the vineyard, he comes, looks for the fruit, doesn't find it. He's ready to just cut his losses here. But there's this gardener who takes care of things for him. And he urges the owner to not cut it down. But y'all, sometimes that's how we respond to situations. Let's just cut our losses. Cut it down. Why should this be allowed to use up the soil anymore? There's no use in wasting our time here when it could be spent doing other things. This is a lost cause. You know, as I think about this parable, I wonder what you have almost given up on. Maybe it's a relationship that's grown a little cold. Maybe it's a child who's wandered away from God. Maybe it's your health, your marriage, your church, your dream. Maybe it's even yourself that you've given up on. You know, we don't usually give up all at once. We quit a little bit at a time. We stop praying. We stop expecting. We stop trying. And quietly, we decide that this is just the way it's going to be. We resign ourselves to that sort of outcome. I mean, after all, we've already given it our best shot. But every now and then, someone shows up that refuses to give up. They look at the same situation that everyone else has written off and they say, let's try again. That's what the gardener says in this parable. The owner is ready to give up, says, cut it down. The gardener says, wait a minute. Let's give it one more year. Y'all, I know exactly how it feels because that happened to me when I was 15 years old. I've told y'all this story before, I think. But in my early teenage years, my life was kind of spiraling, a little bit out of whack. I was in the ninth grade and was having trouble in school. And before Christmas break, the school counselor called me in to her office and told me that I wasn't going to pass the ninth grade. Now, my situation felt hopeless. I mean, can you imagine a 15-year-old hearing something like that? You're not going to make it no matter what you do from here on out. I mean, I have to be honest that there was a slight voice saying, then why should I come back? Why should I even try? Well, I moved back to Holka, my hometown. I had moved away to live with my dad for a few years, and I decided it was time for me to go back home to my mom. She was like the anchor point in my life. And there was a principal at Holka High School, and a meeting got set up between myself and that principal. And she knew I needed a second chance. And she gave it to me. The rest is history. Graduated school, and 3 college degrees later, here I am. And God used all of that to direct my path toward Him, toward salvation, toward a call to ministry. You see, that moment became the defining turning point in my life. And it all happened because this precious lady said, let's give it one more year. That's why this parable has such weight in my life. It teaches me that we give up too easily. That there are times in life when circumstances seem way too big or too complicated or difficult to manage. And we can start to believe when we face those obstacles in our life that God must have meant it that way. And when we make those kinds of assumptions, we give our problems or our obstacles that we face way too much power in our life. we can start to treat them as though they're bigger than God. Now, I could have agreed with that school counselor and resigned myself to fate or failing because I made some mistakes. But like the gardener in the story, I came face to face with a principal who, for some reason or another, had a faith that was big enough to believe that God wasn't finished with this kid. Even though my life at that time was not bearing any good fruit. No fruit. Sometimes all God needs to change a situation is one gardener who refuses to give up hope. Someone who believes that maybe God is just big enough, just powerful enough, just able to turn it around. The owner of that venue was looking at the present reality. But the gardener was able to see the future possibility. Which voice have you been listening to? When you look around at our world, what do you see? It seems God's vineyard is littered with fruitless trees and lost causes. There's so much greed in our world. There's incurable disease. There's terrible suffering. There's war, there's pain, there's poverty. There are millions of people whose lives are broken and hurting and suffering every day. You know, the world we live in now is not like the world we used to live in. Values are shifting. We wonder sometimes what in the world is going on. Should one generation say to the next one, there's no fruit on this tree, so let's just cut it down, let's abandon it? You know, we're tempted to assume that despair is the end of the story. But we forget whose story it is. It's not our story. It's God's story. When you look at the world, what do you see? A world all twisted up, where the forces of evil are great. We look into the face of our generation's adversities, and we wonder how can we defeat something so scary and so complicated? How will things ever possibly be different? Can we really change anything? But then there comes along a gardener. Says, let's give it another year. Let's give it another shot. And that voice can come from some interesting places. One particular voice that I really remember is someone whose name is Eunice Kennedy Shiver. Some of y'all may have heard of Eunice. When Eunice saw the world, her world, she saw a world filled with trees that weren't as big as some of the other trees, or smart as some of the other trees, or as productive as some of the other trees. Now, when Eunice looked out, she wasn't really seeing trees. She was seeing people. She saw people who were living with mental disabilities, and she believed that sports could bring hope and fruitfulness to the lives of people that society didn't really know what to do with. So in 1968, Eunice organized and hosted the very first Special Olympics. And today, the Special Olympics has 4.4 million participants in over 170 countries around the world. And when I don't know about you, but when I watch them on TV every year after the Summer Olympics, I can't help but see joy and purpose, second chances. Eunice brought hope and purpose into the lives of millions of people all around the world because she refused to believe that nothing could be done to salvage terrible circumstances into which our brothers and sisters were born into. What are the lost causes that we need to fight for? What are the situations that we need to give another chance? Notice what the gardener doesn't say. He doesn't say, well, maybe it'll get better. Maybe it'll magically work it out, work itself out. What does he do? He rolls up his sleeves and he says, let me dig around it. Let me put some fertilizer around it. I'll stay with it. And let's see what happens. Let's see what God does. You see, hope isn't passive, but hope goes to work. Maybe that's your marriage. Don't complain about it, but dig around it. Fertilize it. Pray for it. Encourage it. Invest in it. Stay with it and let's see what God does. Maybe there's somebody that you've written off. Well, that boy ain't going to amount to nothing. Well, that girl, she's going in the wrong direction. Don't write them off. Keep engaging them. Pray for them. Keep showing up. Give it another shot. Maybe some of you've given up on your calling. Maybe you've convinced yourself that this season has passed. Don't give up on God. He's not done with you. Don't let what hasn't been done limit you. Don't be consumed by the unfruitfulness that you see. Don't allow the naysayers to be the focus of your life, to be the primary voice in your life. You know, I've thought about Mary's words many, many times. Every day you have to find a reason to hope, no matter what your age is. I think Jesus would affirm those words. Sometimes we want to attribute Jesus with the owner in the parable, who's there to bring judgment. But that can be true. That can be one way to interpret this. Maybe he's talking about Israel. Maybe he's talking about unfruitful people. But maybe Jesus wants us to look at the gardener in this story. Maybe the reason Jesus came is because God is like that gardener who doesn't give up when his people are unfaithful. Every day we have to find a reason to hope. Everybody else sees a tree that deserves an axe. Or as my granddad would say, a pop saw. But the gardener sees a future. Everybody sees what a tree is, but the gardener sees what it can be. That's faith. So don't let what you can't see today rob you of what God may want to do tomorrow. That's how I choose to live. Don't confuse not yet with never. If God is still tending the tree, if the gardener is still digging around it, if he's still pouring grace into the soil, then don't give up. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your kids or your friend or your calling or even yourself. Lean on the Lord. Because we worship a God who, like a gardener, specializes in barren trees. Every day, find a reason to hope. Find a promise in His Word. Because the gardener isn't finished yet. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that we are more like the owner in this story than the gardener. We are quick to judge what we see and slow to trust what You are still doing. Forgive us for mistaking delay as abandonment. Forgive us for mistaking barrenness for hopelessness. Teach us to wait with hope, to labor with love, and to trust You with what only You can bring to life. Lord, we trust You to work in our lives, in our families, in our community, and in our world. We know that You're not done writing the story. And so we will persevere in hope and faith because we know You are able. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Mary told me you have to find a reason every day to hope. The good news is that our hope is not found in ourselves, but it is found in the faithfulness of God. So receive this blessing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace, and by God's grace, give it another shot. Amen. Amen. God bless you.